Well, let me ask you to take your Bibles and go with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. We're in a series that we've entitled Essentials, and what I've been doing is we started last week just talking about the essential things that we need to do as a church. You know, as a church, there are essential things, and that last week we hit on Christ, that Christ must be the center. Christ must be our focus. Christ must be the thing that we remember, and that Christ gave us the greatest gift, and that was His Son, Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And I heard a podcast not long ago of Ben Mandrell. Ben Mandrell is the president of CEO of Lifeway. And in his podcast, he talked about, it was a message he did, he talked about five people you need to forgive. Now, I want to tell you, as he even said this, this is a moment for me to talk about but not tell you how easy this is for me. But as he asked the question, who are five people in your life that you've got to forgive, I started thinking about that for me. I think back to a young man by the name of Todd in elementary school. Todd was a classmate of mine, but, you know, Todd enjoyed picking on me. He enjoyed making fun of my name, just kind of all those things that come, what we would say now in schools, bullying. Todd created such a piece in me that I became self-conscious. You know, I mean, again, you grow up with a name like Ertie, and you know, he could come up with rhymes, and he could come up with things that just made you feel insecure. So Todd was one I over the last couple of weeks I've had to pray and forgive and come to a place. And then there was a staff member on a church staff I had early in my ministry. We didn't get along, and I didn't know it for the longest time. And he would come in my office at night when nobody was around and ruffle through my desk and look, and come to find out he didn't agree with how I was doing the ministry. It was a ministry he had been a part of, and it was needing change, but he was rifling through the desk, and he was having conversations with people, and I became insecure, questioning everything about what I was doing and whether or not I was doing what God wanted. I, you know, just a lot of insecurity, and so I had to come to a place where I could forgive John. I was thinking of others. I was thinking about my first church I pastored. I was a senior pastor of a church, and first time being a senior pastor, I'd been on staff at churches. In fact, I'd been on staff at this church before. My first church I was ever on staff at, I was their student minister, and came back 6.5 years later to be their pastor. And in the time, there had been a lot of conflict in the church, and they had brought on a staff person because they felt like if we have staff, it'll look good to a new pastor. And in doing so, they picked a young man that had been in my student ministry, and he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. But he wasn't called to be on staff. He didn't know what he was doing. And we were good friends, and so we talked about it, and he realized he shouldn't be there, and so he resigned. But his grandmother came out the door that Sunday morning after he resigned, and we were at peace. I mean, he knew he shouldn't be doing that job, and later I did his wedding, but his grandmother came out that door that Sunday morning and just chewed me out in front of everybody. Said things, hurtful things, and in my sin nature came out. Because there I'm standing and she's attacking me and my sin nature comes out and I just give her a what for real quick. And I realized I had to forgive her, and actually I realized that one early. I called her from the parking lot probably before they got home. I thought maybe they were home and apologized. I confessed to our deacons. And our deacons were like, Ernie, Jesus couldn't make her happy. I was like, yeah, but that doesn't excuse what I did. And then the last one, As I was thinking about who are the five that I've, over the years, I've just got to truly forgive. Todd was one. I just didn't realize how hurtful that was at the time. And the staff member and then that church member. But the last one has just been recent. Look, most of you know, as I shared with you on that Saturday in our view of a call, was we had been on church staff at a church in Glasgow for 11 plus years. And just out of the blue, it was just a surprise to me to be called in and said, don't come back. Wasn't anything integrity, wasn't anything immoral. It was, it didn't sit well with certain people. A couple of people had gotten agitated and decided it was time. And I can't tell you the pain that has caused. I mean, for 11 plus years, you've ministered to people, you walked with them while they had struggled and while they had hardships, while they experienced death, while they experienced so many things, and yet to say, don't come back and don't tell anybody. That's a hard, hard thing. But I remember in these several months, I have dealt with loving them and forgiving them, the people who orchestrated it. And so this morning, I think it's important for us as a church to understand forgiveness. Because I'm sure that you've been hurt. I'm sure you've been hurt by somebody. And the last one, the fifth one for me, as I listened to Mandrell, he made this statement, and I thought, oh, that's probably my biggest one I've got to forgive, and that's myself. Ain't nobody harder on me than I am. I will walk away from a message. I'll walk away from a meeting and go, man, I could have done that so much better. I would have thought by now I would have been a better pastor. I'd have been better at this, or I'd have been a better husband. I'd have been better. And sometimes I do that so much to myself that I have to remind myself, be easy on yourself. Just trust God and follow God. So this morning, I want to give you this heads up. I'm going to ask you at the end, who are the five people you need to forgive? And one of them is likely you. Because there's somebody who's been hurt by somebody in this room. Maybe you've been hurt by a coworker. Maybe they've said things about you or done some things that have caused you to not get the promotion or held you back. Maybe you've been hurt by a family member. Listen, we all have those family members. And sometimes those family members cause us pain, and sometimes those family members hurt us in ways that they don't ever know what they've done. If you've grown up in a church, maybe you've grown up in this church, there's been somebody on staff that's hurt you. Well, maybe you've been hurt by a church member. Maybe you are like me in that you need to start by forgiving yourself. Maybe, listen, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen. And so this morning, today, I want to talk about forgiveness reveals a heart for God. And it's essential that our church has that heart. But in order for us to have that heart, we've got to love people. And that means we've got to forgive people. We've got to forgive ourselves. We've got to understand forgiveness. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Genesis 45. I was telling them this morning, they said, you want the scripture on the screen? No, because I'd rather you use your Bible, whether it's an app in the phone or a Bible. I'd rather you open God's Word than look at the screen. So let's read the first five verses, and let's stand as we do that, would you? As we honor the reading of God's holy Word. First five verses of Genesis 45. Joseph no longer could keep his composure in front of all his attendants. So he called out, "Send everyone away from me." No one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But weeping so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's house heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life." You may be seated. Here's the big idea I want you to catch this morning. Forgiveness is essential for believers to show others because they experience forgiveness from God. It's important that you forgive others because you've been forgiven. The story of Joseph is really simple. Joseph was the favorite brother. The dad gave him a coat. He was loved above everyone else. Listen, everybody has a favorite in their family. Parents just don't say it. I mean, Drew's our favorite. We don't tell anybody else. You know, in my family growing up, I was the favorite. And mom and dad kept trying to outdo that and kept having kids and realized, why are we doing this? The best one was our first one. You know, that's just the way it was in our family. Joseph was the favorite for his father, and so his father did all these things. But here's the thing. When you make too much of a child, others get jealous, and so his brothers got jealous. So jealous that there was a day while they were out tending the flock, and Joseph was at home. Dad said, go check on him, and when he found him, they saw him coming. They said, we're going to put an end to this favoritism thing. Let's kill him. And they decided not to kill him. But they threw him in a hole and they sold him. Tore his coat, put animal's blood on it, went home to dad and said, do you recognize this? Oh, that's my son. He must have been killed. The brothers were like, yeah, we sold him. We got money. That's the best thing we've had. For 13 years, Joseph lived a life that was so messed up. Sold to Potiphar to be a watchman over his affairs. In fact, he was so successful, Potiphar puts him in charge of everything but his wife. And his wife wants to have a relationship with Joseph, and Joseph refuses, knowing that's not right. And because he will not have a relationship with her that is sexual, he runs out, she grabs his clothes, and she tells her husband, look what this Israelite's done that you brought into this house. And so they put him in jail for doing the right thing. Joseph in jail, and as he's in jail, he meets two men who work for the king who kind of upset the king, and they both have dreams. Joseph interprets the dream. One's going to make it. One's going to be happy with the dream. The other one's not so happy with the dream. One dies, one lives, and he says to the one who's going to live, hey, make sure you tell the king what I've done, what I've said. The one who lives is excited and forgets to tell the king. Until the king has a dream and can't interpret it. And then he remembers, wait a second, this guy in prison could interpret dreams. So by this time, Joseph is now working for the king. He's been successful. He's helping the king and the Egypt while these famines are going on. And then all of a sudden, Joseph's family comes looking for grain because they were in this famine. Joseph immediately recognizes him or them. They don't recognize him. Joseph has some back and forth so he can see them multiple times. Never do they recognize who their brother is. And so on this trip, Joseph reveals who his brothers are. And in revealing who himself to his brothers, he reveals this forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we've got to understand. If there's anybody who wanted to be mad at his brothers, it could be Joseph. I mean, his life was all torn up from that moment on when they sold him. But he forgave them. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, he's a pastor and others, he said this about forgiveness. He said, muckraking is not the gospel. Muckraking is not the gospel. Witch hunting is not the gospel. Shaming the outcast is not the gospel work. Forgiving sin is the gospel work. And I want to ponder that thought for a moment, because when we get hurt, the first thing we want to do is talk about somebody. Is going on a witch hunt. Is trying to get even. Now, I for years I've said this to people. I don't play to get even, I play to get ahead when it comes to practical jokes. And I enjoy practical jokes. But when it comes to hurt and pain, forgiveness has to be our heart, not getting even. So this morning, let me give you some things that forgiveness does. First thing, forgiveness comes from the heart. Forgiveness comes from the heart. If you look at the text with me this morning, notice what happens to Joseph. He can no longer hold his composure. Why is that? It comes from his heart. His heart is so broken. His heart is so anxious. His heart is so overwhelmed. He's ready to seek forgiveness. He's ready to forgive his brothers. He's excited to see them. He is emotional. It has to come from the heart. We all have heard people say words, and we know their words never mean anything. Oh, I'm sorry. But you can tell by the tone, they don't really mean it. They're just doing it because you're standing in front of them or that you caught them. It's not one of those things that's heartfelt. It's not one of those things that really mean it. It's just something I've been caught and I guess I have to do. So, I'm sorry. Listen, forgiveness comes from a heart. And that heart from a love from God. The second thing we see in this text is forgiveness is emotional. It's an emotional peace. It's an emotional peace in the sense that you recognize that there is something that you need desperately to do because you've made a mistake. Anybody here enjoy making mistakes? Just so everybody's clear, nobody raised their hand. Anybody enjoy somebody pointing out your mistakes? Yeah, nobody's raising their hand. None of us like to do that. We all like to have this self-confidence in ourselves that we've got our things all together. But the truth of the matter, none of us have it all together. We all need help. We all need people around us who can support us, encourage us, and help us. And so when we make a mistake, man, it just, there's emotion involved in that mistake. And then there's this moment where we have to say, I'm sorry. When I was in high school, I worked for farmers. I've worked in the tobacco patch. I've stripped tobacco. I've worked in the hay fields. Farms were all around us, and that's what we did. I'll never forget, I worked for this dairy farmer. It was my first time working for him. My friend had hooked me up to work for him, and he was milking for him, and so I worked for him. And the farmer began to tell me about one of my friends who he had worked for him and just wasn't a hard worker. Just was one of those guys that he had to stay on to get him to work, and he just didn't work. And I don't know, I saw with my friend later, and he found out I had worked for that farmer. He's like, you know, he's never called me. And I said, well, you know, I can tell you why he didn't call you. Well, why ain't he called me? Well, because you don't work. Well, that upset my friend. That upset his parents. His parents made a phone call to the farmer. Guess who didn't get called back to that farm? It was me. My friend who worked for him was a milker. I said, how come he's never called? He said, I worked hard. Yeah, he can't trust you. You told so-and-so that he didn't work hard, and that got back to him, and that was a mistake. I'll never forget, as a 16-year-old, realizing I need to go ask for forgiveness. Now, let me just tell you, that was a hard deal to do. But I'll never forget, I would drive by that man's farm on a regular basis because it was one of the ways in and out of town for me. And God just kept saying, you need to have a conversation. So I drove down to his house and got out. He came out. And I said, I'm here to apologize. I said, I'm here to apologize because I did something I should never have done. You told me about my friend, and I should have held that in confidence, and I didn't. And I don't blame you for never hiring me again, but I wanted you to know that I'm sorry for what I've done. I'll never forget. That's one of the first times I ever did that in my life, to apologize to somebody outside the family. You know, my brother and I are 16 months apart. Some of you met him last week. And we could throw the biggest fist fights in the yard was, and parents would hold us and say, oh, tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry, you know. Mean it. I mean it. Right? But this was the first time I realized I need to go seek forgiveness from somebody else because I hurt them. And I wish I could tell you, oh, from that day forward it was easy. It's never easy. It's an emotional thing because you have to come to a place and realize you're wrong and you need to seek forgiveness. Nobody wants to be called they're wrong. Nobody wants to say, I've messed up. But listen, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not perfect. No matter how good you are, you're not perfect. No one's perfect but God alone. So, second thing is, it's not only emotional, but thirdly, it requires love. Requires love. Look with me at verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But they wouldn't answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Here's the thing. Joseph loves his family so much that he wants them to understand there's forgiveness. And he loves them so much, he's asking about dad. He's asking about the family. He's asking about them. In verse 5, he'll say, come near me, come. Be here. Love. Love holds no grudges. I mean, think about it. In your marriage, probably when you got married, you heard these verses from 1 Corinthians, which Paul writes in what we call the love chapter. It's one of those things that Paul writes, and we love to hear these words spoken at weddings. Verse 1 of 13 says, if I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, understanding all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so I can move mountains but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and give over my body or in order to boast, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not arrogant. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love. Joseph comes to this place with his family and he loves them. Man, his plan is, I'm going to move you all here so you're no longer suffering. His forgiveness is so much that he's wanting them to get closer to help them, not to say, stay your distance, I love you, I forgive you, but would you? I'll send you food rather than you see you again. He says, no, come. I want you here. Love requires forgiveness. Love requires forgiveness as much as forgiveness requires love. It works both ways. Fourth thing I want you to catch in this text comes from verse 4. It means caring. Forgiveness is caring. He cared about his brothers. He said, come near me. He wanted to hug them. He wanted them close. He cared about his family. He cared about them as people. He cared. You can't forgive somebody you don't care about. If you don't care, it's easy to wipe them off or forget them. It's hard not to forgive somebody if you care. The fifth thing we see in this text is forgiveness seeks God's desire. Verse 5, and now we don't grieve. Oops, yeah. Now we don't grieve or be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. Joseph understands, looking back, that God had a plan and a purpose. And for Joseph, that's a big deal. For you and I, we're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of Scripture, and so we can read the Bible and we can see how God always has a plan and a purpose put in place. But what that requires from us is faith and obedience. Because God's in control. Just like in Sunday school this morning, we were in Jeremiah and we're talking about the people. And they hear from God what God is wanting them to do. All they have to do is have faith and obedience. Forgiveness seeks God's desire. Do you realize that everybody you lay your eyes on is a person or a child that God has created and formed in His image? Every person you lay your eyes on is another person that Christ died for. He loves. He may not love the way they're living their life, but He created them and loved them, and the cross was for them. They may not understand that love. They may not recognize the cross, but Christ died for them on that cross with the hopes that they would see that. But in order for that to happen, they've got to see forgiveness from God's people. Of all the people who should be ready to forgive, it should be the church. It should be God's people. For we've experienced forgiveness of God. We've experienced the grace that only comes through Christ. We've experienced that forgiveness. And so why shouldn't we be ready to forgive others? But sometimes God's people are the hardest to forgive because we hold grudges. We're mean-spirited. We think getting even is the right thing to do. Listen, when Jesus is on the cross, some of his last words were, Father, spite them down. Right? No, that's not his last words. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgiveness. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you. Forgiveness isn't easy. I wished it was. I wished I could tell you that I'm standing in front of you. I'm a person who forgives, and life just it rolls off my back like water off a duck. But that's not the case. In fact, this week I had a text message and an exchange with someone that from my previous church, and they shared something with me that they were meaning well, but they decided they'd share a little insight with me about somebody, and I'm gonna just tell you, it took 2 days for me to get to a place where I was ready to forgive. I was like, God, I've got to preach on forgiveness on Sunday. I've got to get there. I can't have this anger. And I'll be honest, it took a couple days because my first response was, well, I could do this and that would really mess their apple cart up. Oh, all I have to do is make this phone call, and man, they will be in a world of hurt. And I kept hearing in the back of my mind, yeah, but is that the right thing to do? Is that really what I want you to do? No, but it'd make me feel better. Are you about feeling better or about doing my will? Listen, I wish I could tell you it's easy. It's not. But you've got to come to a place, and I've got to come to a place where forgiveness is what we're about. So who are the five people you need to forgive? Chances are you're one of the five. Who have you been hurt by? Listen, I could tell you stories from churches of church conflict and fights, so I know about them. Church I was at before I was ever on call or ever called to be a minister had the police show up to stop a fight in the parking lot. God's people. A friend of mine went to pastor there, and the first thing he did was drive around and said, hey, it was an area in a downtown, said, hey, what do you know about that church? I don't know much, but they had the police come to show up to stop a fight in the parking lot. That's not what the church needs to be known for. We need forgiveness. So here's the invitation for you this morning. Here's the so what. The so what is really simple. Who are the five you need to forgive? Maybe, like me, I couldn't tell you where Todd is to this day. I can't find him, and so there's no way I would ever be able to tell him I forgive him. But in my heart, I come to a place where I have forgiven him. So maybe for you, that's what you've got to do. But then there may be somebody that you need to reach out to and say, I need you to forgive me because I was wrong. But maybe you just need to start this morning asking God for a heart that forgives.